We hear this all the time.
There are so many updates and tons of community work happening. It's hard to keep up. How do I follow it all?
Here is your answer. Listen to the Gutenberg Changelog.
Hello and welcome to our 36th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog. In today's episode, we will talk about the theme, Jason. We will talk about Gutenberg 9.8, WordFest, and the big bodacious goals. Or audacious goals? No, what's the word I'm looking for?
Bodacious is great.
Audacious,
I like
big audacious goal for bodacious. 2021. And yeah. I'm Birgit Pauli Haag, curator of the Gutenberg Times, and I'm here with my co-host, Mark Urain, designer and core contributor to WordPress. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Birgit. I'm doing well. I finally caught up on some of the past Gutenberg releases and posted some videos on my YouTube channel, the Gutenberg walkthrough, where I went through their visual features and enhancements and just kind of recorded that for people. And it's interesting, though, to see kind of how these features lately have been slimming down with each release. And I think that's due to all the work that's being put into full site editing right now, honestly.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Really cool. We especially see that with this release, which we're talking about today, 9.8. But overall, I've been healthy and doing really well. What have you been up to lately?
Oh, well, it was a busy week, but when is it not? But I finally feel that I landed in 2021. Yeah, kind of, I had some transition problems.
Okay.
Getting focus in and kind of getting back to work. That was the biggest part. I could have used a few more weeks and I actually didn't. Right. Yeah. And I'm just, I'm still on a high from the today's awesome 24-hour live stream of WordFest, a celebration of WordPress for remote workers and benefiting a Big Orange Heart nonprofit in the UK, which is providing well-being support for remote workers. And for my talk, I tried something new, not sure how it turned out, but I will modify it for a later conference. It was a case study, a no-code contributor journey on the WordPress Gutenberg GitHub repo.
That's right. That's right. I'm so glad you did that.
Yeah, it was a fun to do it and kind of think it through and how can you work a non-coder through it. There's a lot of lingo and I have a blog post about that, but I think the doing it with examples was a good thing. But the video that I first recorded was 40 minutes and I had a 30-minute limit there, so I had to edit it down a bit. So it was kind of an interesting experience to do the pre-recorded talk as well. But we had live Q&A and that was very interesting. I saw a few friends in there. We were about 80 people. Yeah, for such a fringe talk, 80 people, that was really good. I was kind of happy about that.
That is.
Yeah. So we have an announcement, the Big Picture Goals, a post published by Josefa Hayden,
yeah,
who is the executive director. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. We've got some timelines there, huh?
Right. Yeah. She's Josefa Hayden. If you don't know it, she's the executive director of the Open Source WordPress project. And we have a little timeline for full-site editing. So first, it's going to be in the Gutenberg plugin, and then subsequently in WordPress Core to edit all the elements of a site with Gutenberg blocks. And that will include in-progress features designed to help existing users transition to Gutenberg as well. So the scope and the timeline is MVP, that's short for minimum viable product, is going to be in the plugin for sure in April 2021, so in 3 months. And then the version 1 is planned to be in core by WordPress 5.8. And we looked up the release schedules for the upcoming versions, and it was the release schedule date for WordPress 5.8 is June 8th.
All right, this year.
This year. And then now I understand also the April, why, what's the difference between April and June? Well, yeah, But in April in plugin, that is relatively close to beta 1 for the 4.5.8. Yeah, so that's
they gotta, they gotta have that done by then in order to get into 5.8. Okay.
So it's going to be interesting. So now we have a timeline, and if you want to know how that all progresses and some updates, we have a live Q&A with the Gutenberg Times YouTube channel on January 29th. With Carolina Niemack, Ari Statoporus, and Anne McCarthy. And we will discuss updates on the full site editing, global styles, and themes in WordPress 5.7, or not. But it's going to be interesting because Carolina Niemack and Ari are there both very entrenched in the theme building for full site editing, and they will be able to give us an update on that. And Anne McCarthy is the program manager for the full site editing outreach project that is testing all the full site editing features. Yeah, so January 29th, 11 a.m. Eastern, 1600 UTC.
Cool. Yeah. That sounds wonderful. Then, Birgit, we have some community contributions to share with everybody today. There was Frank Klein, who shared how recently posted how he implemented the newly developed Global Styles feature into his experimental block-based Bosco theme. And that Bosco theme, for all of you, is available currently in the WordPress themes directory. So Frank gives you a tour around the experimental themes.json file and compares working with styling for full site editing with the current way themes deal with styling of headings and typography, etc. We have a link to the post. It's on the wpdevelopment.courses site, and really good read there for anybody interested in how to integrate global styles. There was also a post from Anne McCarthy that was published about summarizing the first call for testing for the full site editing program. It's an interesting read of what non-developers found when working with from within the new site editor. And she breaks it down really well. She provides some quotes from the actual testers and gives nice things, nice identifiable areas in which they tested. So excellent read for, especially for the Gutenberg team to stay abreast of, right?
Yeah. I think it's good that there are some people outside the team testing that, especially with the idea to how am I doing that with my users.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, and I discovered a new plugin called Block Visibility by Nick Diego, and after you install it, you have another in the sidebar, another control for visibility, and you can show and hide content depending on login or logged out. And what excited me the most was that I was able to schedule blocks so they can magically appear even after I published a post. If there's some embargo information in there, or like today, my talk, I didn't want to give away the talk, I just shared the slides, but now after the talk, I also made the video available, transcript, and all the links, so that I didn't have to go in there again to check that.
Wow, so, and the block just appeared at a certain appointed time. How cool.
You get the same scheduling feature that you have on your published posts.
Yeah,
so that's kind of reuse of components that are already built into the block editor for additional plugins. And it's just very well done. And another block plugin. That we discovered is a query block that displays custom post types in a feed. And then you have controls for featured image, display numbers of posts, etc. But if you need that for your custom post types, check it out. Yeah. It's called Awesome Blocks by Awesome Press.
Yeah.
All right.
What's released?
So what's released? We had a Gutenberg 9.8 plugin release with two enhancements and three new APIs. The two enhancements are a semi-transparent background for the spacer block when selected. So that helps users to find the spacer block even if you have a background there, like a solid color or a picture there, to kind of aim for that spacer block in the editor so it's not so hidden in much. It also has matching variation icon in the block switcher. So the very left button in the block toolbar is the transformer. So you can switch out the content of a block from paragraph to list. But it will have now, if you have a variation of that block, it will have the variation icon. It's pointed out that's working for the embed block, so you get the Twitter icon or the YouTube icon, so you know what that embed block actually is.
A lot clearer.
It's kind of takes a lot of questions away, or that you have to, well, YouTube or tweet, yeah, you see that, but from with other embed blocks, you don't know always what that is. The three new APIs, two of them are concerning the create block script, that scaffolding of block development. It now allows locally installed packages with templates, and it also has now support for static assets, which is interesting when you kind of make that block a plugin that you have a separate static asset. You can kind of get them in there and queue the static assets for it. And then the other one was just an export for some layout effect. Yeah, that's okay. Very technical. If it has more than 15 syllables.
Yeah. Right. Isomorphic layout effect. Okay.
I don't even know where the word starts and ends. It's almost like a German word.
So there were about 25 bug fixes with this release. They included a number of things, one being that showing an error message when a reusable block has gone missing. So
helpful.
This affects all your posts, live posts that it may have been embedded in. The focal point picker had a fixed rendering and dragging experience, fixing the rendering and dragging experience, which is pretty nice.
Focal point picker, that's for the
color,
the
right?
Cover
or
block.
The cover block,
Or the image block, or the media and text block. So it's used quite a bit. Yeah, so fixing it really helps.
There were some invalid cover block transforms that got fixed. There's one here, don't close the block inserter when clicking the scroll bar or an empty area, so it kind of keeps that block inserter panel open. Many others here. Fixing appender margins, which are always being refined, thus the word again, fixing them again. There were two performance changelog items, one being the improving the inserter block hover performance. So just looking at this issue is pretty cool. Nick does a great job comparing what it was to what it is now, and kind of hovering over each of the blocks, seeing the previews. A lot of the performance is getting revised. And there were 13 experiments that were included in this release. The group block, adding border radiuses.
Yay.
Fixing the border radius in the site editor. Let's see, hiding the theme without comments.php deprecation message. Let's see, fix the navigation editor. There was obviously many of these experiments, I think, might have been some bugs here, just fixing a few things in them. But the theme JSON has added border radius to the theme style schema. So very nice. Add theme.json internationalization mechanism and JSON file specifying which theme JSON paths are translatable. Okay, so some internationalization for that. That's great.
That's some major improvement there for everybody who is not English.
Right.
Speaking, yeah.
Totally. The navigation block has a use draft status when user creates posts and don't render unpublished posts in menus. Okay, good refinements there. And the full site editor has a load content in iframe change now. And from the release notes specifically, it says that the site editor now renders its content in an iframe. There is a number of reasons for this, such as avoiding admin CSS bleed or allowing to simply use a theme style sheet for a site without any adjustments. Oh my goodness, Birgit, this is a fantastic change implementation right here. Once this approach proves stable, the team is planning to make the same change to the post editor. Yeah. Yes, Yes, please make that happen, right?
It's already in there, yeah, in the site editor. So
Right.
yeah, it's
Let's
kind of
get that
cool.
over to the post editor now.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine that. One style sheet. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And
Well,
no more
things.
CSS bleed from the WP admin. That is great.
Yeah, and then in the section of documentation, again, quite a few enhancements or updates for the create block scaffolding tool for creating new blocks. And then also update the quick starter guide for the development environment. And so the next section is the code quality. There were 9 items in there. I just want to point out the upgrade of ReaKit to the version 1.3.4. ReaKit is the library that helps building accessible rich web apps in React. So that will be also used for the interfaces, of course, but also for the component library later on when they come in from the G2 component library. So that was necessary to upgrade that and get all the new features in. Apart from that, there was some editing, some widget and annotations for the testing and for the storage, meaning data storage or state storage things, but it's very technical and I only understand half of it. If at all, maybe 10% sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. And then there are 23 tools items in this release. Most of them also upgrades, like Puppeteer was upgraded to 5.5 and ESLint and Jest, as well as the minimum required Node.js was upgraded to 12. So there are some tooling updates that will help people put it all together. Also, the Webpack upgrade to version 5. Yeah, and then the last section is our kitchen drawer, a
Yes.
various section of with 15 items. What also stands out, and this is the theme JSON, has received quite a few updates there, which is important for the full site editing because
Right.
now all of a sudden you have all the settings for a theme. You put it all in one big JSON file, and yeah, with a lot of testing that goes on with full site editing, there needs to be quite a few updates. What also stands out is the avoid using auto drafts for the theme templates and template parts. That was something that I ran into that I had when I tested it. I had all of a sudden a list of duplicates in my list of templates and
Really?
template parts.
Oh, wow.
And so the full site editing no longer creates auto drafts for template and
Okay.
template parts. And they were previously needed to integrate with the previously direct files from the full site editing stream and not have user modifications. But taking that out is hopefully putting a nice stabilized foundation for the full site editing and not being so complex in management and synchronization logic. So it's going to be a different experience now to test the full site editing. So I'm looking forward to that. And did you highlight that add primary destructive button style?
Yeah, new button style for the
Okay.
primary, the destructive button style. So whenever you're gonna remove something, delete it, got some changing to the styles
Okay.
there.
Excellent. Yes. Okay.
And
This
that, yeah.
concludes our change log for Gutenberg 9.8. I said it right,
Yeah,
right?
you got it. Can
Yeah.
you believe we're gonna be hitting 10.0 pretty soon? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Just
That's 100 releases, right?
is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Or
Wow.
close to or not, yeah.
Wow. So then we have what's an active development right now? Looking through kind of at the weekly chat that happened this week, we see that the query pagination block is merged and into the master branch, and that's really helpful for the query block, just paginating posts wherever. Global styles was updated recently as well. Robert Anderson mentions that he's working towards adding parts of Global Styles to WordPress 5.7. And there was a link to that issue on GitHub. We're planning to do some changes to the shape of the theme.json file, which again keeps coming up in these recent chats. And Another issue, the most immediate that they're working on, is to make settings and styles top-level keys. So really good focus on global styles, and not only that from the technical point of view, but also from Q. Q has been looking at the UI side of these global styles, and he actually jumped back into this space and working through the integrations and improvements to the component system for Gutenberg. So yeah, it's good to hear. I'm glad that we're hearing about this component system again.
Well, it's a major component. That's the global styles in the sidebar, where
right.
The user then can change all the colors and settings that come in from the theme, and then have some opinionated changes there.
Yeah. I was glad to see in those global styles several different instances of reset buttons. So I'm glad the reset, or the concept of resetting these global styles, is being part of this experience, because so often do we go down global styles and end up somewhere we didn't want to be. So it's nice to be able to just reset that all and start over mm-hmm. again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I get lost and I have too many choices. Then all of a sudden, I don't know
for
how
sure.
to stop, and then need to go back to it. Yeah.
The group block was seeing some updates from Andre, adding a background to the group block. So this seemed like a big rabbit hole for Andre. There was a lot of conversation about this, or a little bit of conversation in Slack. So we'll share that link. And also, finally, we have from the open floor section of the chat that happens on the weekly meeting, there's work on the block-based navigation screen has picked up again. And in fact, there's a new channel for anyone interested in following and contributing in Slack. There is the Feature Navigation Block Editor channel now in Slack. So go check that out, along with the GitHub project for it too, which is project number 31 on GitHub.
Yeah, the Feature Navigation Block Editor joins the Feature Widget Block Editor channel. I think they also are planning weekly meetings on that.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
So you can really focus on it. Yeah, I think the Featured Widget has a meeting at midnight. Yeah, there are quite a few Australian team members that are working on it, and so midnight is not for me.
You don't stay up for that, huh?
Not anymore, no. I might get up at 3 or 4 again, but then the meeting is over, right? I missed
right.
it. Yeah, so there's a lot going on at the moment in the development, because everybody wants to get ready for this April full-set editing minimum viable product, and there are so many moving parts. It's really mind-boggling. But we are almost at the end of the show. I just wanted to point out two things. One is on Monday, we'll be on WP Builds talking about Gutenberg with Nathan Wrigley, Paul Lacey, and Christina Hawkins, WP Builds on YouTube channel. And Mark mentioned his YouTube channel in the intro, the Gutenberg walkthrough we will have. Do you want to say more about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, if anybody's curious about how these continued features and enhancements actually affect the UI and the experience of Gutenberg, that's what I go through in those videos, just to give everybody a visual representation of that.
Excellent. Thank you for doing that. So, as always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And if you have questions or suggestions or news you want us to include in our next show 2 weeks from today, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. So that's it from me. Thanks everybody for listening, for being here. Thank you, Mark. Until the next time.
Thank you, Birgit, for joining me today. And everybody have a great time away. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.